Welcome to Love Vocals Nation. Today we are bringing you part two of the amazing Susie Ledge. Stay tuned and enjoy.
So, Susie, correct me if I'm wrong. I think you mentioned in a past conversation that you are full-time in music. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Like, that's a massive achievement. Like, really. And that is something many singers and songwriters and music producers really dream about.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So we are really curious. How did you get to this point?
To that point.
In life?
Well,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I'd love to say that I earned enough to live off, but I don't, you know, and luckily I have a husband who can support me, but it's just so hard to make make money through music. You know this, and especially, you know, being a vocalist. I mean, it's not surprising so many vocalists start DJing, you know. It is hard. I mean, I've been making more money recently since I signed with management. I've got same management as Christina and Sue McLaren and Siskin. I've got to say, Tara's brilliant. She's really good. But still, I wouldn't be able to support myself. It's like, it's better than what it was, for sure. Mm-hmm. I worked, you know, music was always something you had to just fit around everything else, wasn't it? I mean, like, I had a full-time job working in offices, and I come home and I remember like recording vocals at like midnight, you know.
Crazy, right?
Just trying to do it wherever you can. You've got to do it. It's in you. You can't not do it. You know, you've made that realization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just trying to do it whenever you can. And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And then it's really hard to be creative as well when you're tired.
Yeah.
So anyway, moving back to Newcastle did help, you know, because cost of living's cheaper, but not like mega cheap. So I would have part-time jobs, and also being a mum, you know, you're fitting things around. And it got to a point, even working part-time, I was absolutely shattered.
Yeah.
And I remember my husband just saying, look, music's what you want to do. It's what you love.
Yeah.
You don't need to work, you know.
Amazing. I need that kind of
Sorry. Not everybody's lucky enough.
What an amazing opportunity, because you are brilliant. And, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, just the standards in the music industry today, I think, you know, all of us would, you know, if, let's say we go back to the 80s, the 90s, where you actually sold a CD or a single, or whatever. I think if that was still going on today, a lot of more artists would be able to actually make a living out of it and be more creative, better music, better quality. That's what I think.
Yeah. And I was chatting also, you know, with Paul Statham, the mentor. I was asking him, I said, you don't have to give me numbers or anything like that, but I said, you know, compare back then, you know, when Dido's album went off, you know, people were buying CDs, you know, and streaming wasn't really a thing. So compare your royalties back then to now. And he's like, night and day. He said, I wasn't doing anything with my life. Like, one royalty check would keep me going for a year, you know, and I'd be getting like four a year. He said, I was just throwing money away. I was like, you know, he wasn't living recklessly, but it was just like, he didn't have any like need to do anything. He says, now he works full time. He mentors, teaches songwriting. He says, it's been good for me, actually. He was seeing the positives. It's been good for me, because now I'm working with musicians and helping artists, and, you know, I feel like I've got a purpose and, you know, all this. I said, he says, but the lack of it with streaming, I had no choice, you know, and going from that to totally different opposite lifestyles. He says, and back then, if you got a track on an album and it wasn't even a single, you'd still get the same.
That is true. That is very, very true.
Because people are buy the whole album, don't they?
Yeah.
So every track on that album gets the same, you know, share of the the money.
Yeah.
Whereas now on Spotify, you play the single and you play it again and again and again, and the album tracks, meh, maybe.
Yeah.
I think that, and also in people who were writing B-sides back in the day, were getting as much as the people from the A-sides.
Yeah.
Which was a thing, you know? I mean, I think that's why back in the day, you know, and certainly this was my experience, and I was really fortunate to work with some amazing writing teams. That was your objective, because even if you weren't actually writing a song for yourself, you knew that even if your takeaway from that particular collaboration was going to be a good, great song, then it was going to get pitched. And it didn't matter whether it was an A-side or a B-side, because you were going to get paid. And it was going to be everything. Mm-hmm. And then you got your publishing. These days with the streaming, and I mean, it makes me really sad.
It does.
Yeah.
It's really, really sad.
Yeah. I've seen more people actually starting to, you know, talk about is that it was like a Danish music society this week that wrote a letter on their homepage and basically posted it everywhere that there should be something done to this situation because it's not fair to the artists.
It isn't.
And they came up with different ideas and suggestions on how it could be done. And some of them said that then some of the artists would see 40% more in royalties, but some artists would not maybe see, you know, get the support or whatever, you know. So I don't know how that looks like, but they're looking into it. People want to solve this problem because it is a problem. It is a major problem.
It's a huge problem. And please, people, correct me if I'm wrong, because that's maybe me talking in ignorance here, but you know, when I think of the film industry, and then do you remember when there was pirating started, and then the film industry had a really, really big kind of push to absolutely find ways to make sure that money was coming, revenue was coming in from these, even with streaming.
Yeah. Right?
That hasn't happened for us. That actually happened.
Exactly.
There hasn't been this big push to really say, look, we're putting these rules in place where people can't do this and can't do that. That's never been done. And streaming, it's like the Wild Wild West. It's like, yeah, stream here, stream there. There's people that have got it in the bag. People like companies have got it in the bag. They know where the streaming's coming. They're getting the money. But it isn't trickling back to us.
No.
All.
No, it's not.
And
being a musician is a really hard profession, I think, because
it's so hard because
you work full time, and I would say more than full time.
You can't switch off
12 hours, even 15 hours a day, and you get zero money. And it all's like, oh, you do it because, you know, you get exposure. But, you know, that exposure never led to something, you know, it never does.
Yeah, I know.
So this huge gap.
Yeah, it's a massive gap. And I would love, and if anyone's got any bright ideas out there, please, please share them. I would love someone to come up with, here are some ways we could change this. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to at least get the word out. We haven't got any exact answers on how to change it. We just know that something needs to give. And because there's a load, and especially people at the caliber that we're at, you know, we're really good at what we do. We're talented at what we do.
Mm.
And we deserve to feel like valued, you know, valuable, because we are valuable.
We're so valuable
people. And I would love someone to come up with an idea we could actually start getting the proper and make it mandatory, make it a policy somewhere that we have to actually be accounted to properly and not go through sort of 15 different revenue streams to actually get you know, 0.555 of a cent.
God, I know. It's like, it's weird, isn't it? It's almost like people are just choosing to not, like, see it and hear it. It's like, you know, and like, and saying things like, you know, I'm working on my album and I want you to be a part of it. Like maybe 3 years, three decades ago, that would have been exciting.
That would have meant something.
That would have meant something. Oh, amazing. Yeah. I want to be on the album. Absolutely. Because I'm going to get the same royalties as every other song. Right. But like, what does that actually mean? It means you're going to work hard and you're going to get
zero. What?
Pretty much
working for free.
Well, okay, I know. Let's put it this way: it's maybe unfair to say that not anything comes in. I think stuff does come in, but it just doesn't trickle down to us.
No, I know, and it's not transparent. You don't know.
No,
you can't see it where it's going.
Where's the XML spreadsheet we can download and see what it is? We're relying on people to send that to us.
Yeah,
and we have to trust that it's true.
Yeah,
but what is also really true is that artists don't make as much money as they should make. Mm-hmm. And the way things, and isn't it really sad? And by the way, I love it, everybody, all the vocalists and songwriters who have decided to, you know, pick up on the DJing thing.
Yeah,
and I've said, well, this is the way I'm going to start making money. But isn't it blooming sad?
Yeah, we have to do that.
That we have to do that.
Yeah,
you have absolutely. To,
like, learn another trade.
You know.
Yeah. Musicians, like producers, you know, DJs, they have to be even more creative on the stage. You know, maybe dress up like a clown. I don't know, like just to get attention, just to get booked. Because that was funny to look at. You know, instead of actually focusing on how amazing the music is. They have to kind of sell their soul a little bit just to be able to survive.
Yeah, I know. It's enough to put you off.
No, and I'm aware that I'm painting a really sad story.
No,
especially after the story that you've just shared, because there is that complete flip side to this. We love music. We love doing it. It's God given, you know, if you believe in God or, you know, whatever your denomination is. But, you know, it's given to us. And without doing it, we feel that there's a piece of us missing.
Absolutely.
And guys, girls, you know, whoever is up there making the money from all the work that gets done, please spare a moment to just consider what it feels like on, you know, sorry to say, at the bottom of the food chain, because that's what it feels like.
No, it does. And you're absolutely right. And it's not like, you know, if you train up to be a carpenter and suddenly there's no use for carpenters, people say, well, just train up to be a car mechanic instead. It's like, this is what we're meant to do. This is in us. It's
right.
Like, we have to do this. It's not something you turn on at, you know, 9 o'clock on a Monday and switch off 5 o'clock on a Friday. It's constant.
Right.
You know, like you're waking up in the middle of the night, you're like, I've got an idea. What do I do? Do I get my phone out and sing into it?
Yeah.
Or risk going back to sleep?
Oh my God. I miss those days.
It's constantly there. It's just, and to put so much of yourself into it. You know, and then you get to a point like, after the years where you feel like, oh, maybe I am good at this, you know, because there's all that self-doubt that keeps pulling you back. Mm-hmm. And you get to a point, you know, and then you still can't support yourself, you know.
I just find it astonishing. And seriously, I was comparing it to not everyone will know about this, but the Industrial Revolution of 1815 to 1850. The workers were never treated well by the company owners and the mills and such. And there was massive changes at that time because literally people were living in the breadline, which is actually where that term comes from, was that particular era.
Right.
And I just thought, you know, this is just like that. It's like we're doing a job that people need. Because without us, there is no product. With no product, there is no label. Without the label, there is no record company, right?
So, yeah, without that, it's not even like Spotify is not even around.
Right, yeah. Right. So there you go. And so therefore, why are you treating your workers so poorly?
Yeah.
And this is kind of why,
basically, you know, holding everything up.
Well, yeah, and you know, we are on. I mean, not for the really big artists, you know, who have got like gigantuan hits and like, you know, Beyonce and churning them out, but ultimately we end up on the breadline.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
And I think it's really, really unfair.
It's completely unfair.
The thing is, I think there might be a gap, you know, because obviously maybe the labels, you know, they maybe take, I don't know, 50%, some take way more than they should, to be honest.
Yeah.
But maybe they're also like, oh, what, there's no money in it, right? But where is the money? There should be, you know.
Yeah, where is the money then? Yeah, yeah,
where is it? Who's taking it? Because it should be somewhere.
But it's really leaving. It's just not arriving.
Yes.
But there's billions. Yeah. There's billions being made in the industry. They're always boasting mm-hmm. about it, how well the industry's done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that I don't know where the money's getting to, because the amount of vocalists, songwriters I speak to, and it's not them.
Yeah, yeah. There was just some years ago, me and my friends just went into Google, like, my name, because we're looking for one of our releases, right? And then there was an article and it said like, oh, Linnea Shusso, she's like a millionaire. I was like, what?
And you're like, am I?
Amazing. I was like, where? I was like, what? What did I miss? And they said, like, you know, if you Google a celebrity, whatever, they sometimes are like, oh, you know, Julia Roberts, she's worth, you know, 8 billions. I don't know what. And they were like, Linnea Shusso is worth like 1 million something. I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
Where is that money?
Yeah.
I definitely don't have them. So if I don't have them, who has them?
And maybe they came think up with you get number? Paid a penny a stream or something like that.
Well, maybe.
if we got a penny a stream and actually it was accounted to us, that would be pretty okay.
Yeah.
I could handle that.
Yeah.
But again, I just feel that the whole music industry system is pretty archaic. Because they still function as though we're back 20 years ago, 30 years ago. They're still cutting contracts, giving, you know, songwriters, vocalists, you know, 10%, which I just think is disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Especially with, so, you know, if you think about that, given the fact there's so little coming in, they're taking 90% of the so little coming in. What? Where do
what
we
is left?
What is left, and what is the point?
Yeah, what is the point exactly?
So what is the point? So I'm just at this place. I only want to be working with labels who are doing 50-50 deals. I only want to be working with labels who are kind of have got the same kind of ethos and rhetoric, who really care about their artists, who really are into artist developments. And I had a really interesting conversation just recently with a record company owner from Miami. And they were saying they just are so astonished at the lack of artist development that goes on, that it's like a conveyor belt and really creating this massive diluted market of songs. And that's why, Susie, you know, I was talking, I was listening to your stuff and say, you write real songs.
Yeah.
Real songs.
That's a huge compliment. Thank you.
That could be done in many genres, you know, and they're timeless. And as you say, they go out and buy the album.
Yeah, off the back of one song.
Do you know what I'm saying? And it doesn't happen.
Off the back of one song.
It doesn't happen. And it should happen.
I know.
Yeah. Industry, it needs to happen.
Yeah. So a lot of our listeners has been, you know, if they have been listening to all of our, like, say, episodes, they've been hearing, like, artist after artist saying this. Why are we bringing this up? Because we want to bring some kind of change. We want you as a listener to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
We want to educate everyone in the industry and see if there's some kind of change that can actually be done to it. So it's not that we are, you know, pessimistic or, yeah, or angry, but, you know, there is definitely a gap in there. And if you are into music, if you are into, you know, maybe Susie right here, please try to spread the word, help the artists, and, you know, see what you can do for the music industry, because we want to make quality music. We want people to feel valuable. We want to see artists being able to have the time to do quality music.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why we're bringing this up.
Yeah, no, I feel like more people are bringing it up, and I feel like more people are talking about it now. And so let's keep this momentum.
I agree. And I think the last point I wanted to make was, fans out there, you are at the point where you actually have the power to change this. You can actually support us in a way that can help us make changes, because without you, the labels don't have anything. They don't have a company either. So we're kind of the product, you're the buyer. And between the two of us, maybe we can all collaborate together.
Yeah.
To make the changes.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. I hope so. It's just such a hard question, you know, how can we fix this? It just seems like it's so broken.
I agree.
But it's got to be possible.
I think it's possible, but we'd need the people who are making the money from the streaming to really just put the brakes on, mm-hmm, and go, right, okay, how can we make this fair?
Yeah.
So, and it's just interesting to kind of talk about that. But
it definitely is. And it's more, you know, as I said, more and more people that we talk to are, you know, experiences in this kind of field and situation.
Yeah.
So,
you're
not alone.
No. And with the rise of AI, hello. You mentioned that you're with Muse Music Management.
Yes.
And you were saying that actually you felt that your income, your career started improving when you actually chose to get management. Is that correct? Is that what I heard you say? Or
since signing with management, because it takes away all of those tricky business type conversations that, you know, can make us feel sometimes unprepared for, you know, that we don't quite know what's fair, because, you know, we haven't actually experienced fair yet.
Right. Yeah.
So what am I asking for? What do I think is fair? You know, suddenly mm-hmm. you've got to look at you yourself as the product, as well as mm-hmm. you know, knowing your own worth, but also, you know, it's like, how do you, you know, so having someone who believes in you and speaks on your behalf to deal with, you know, the terms and conditions, this is how I work. And it's about equality, you know, mm-hmm, 50 mm-hmm. every time, 50-50. Mm-hmm. Songwriters are equal. So if there's another songwriter on board, it gets shared out equally. If there's four
nice.
Songwriters on board, equal all the way.
Lovely.
It's just equal. No nitpicking over 1%, 2%, you know, it's just equal.
Love it.
And that should be the standard for everyone, but it's not always accepted. And I wonder where that comes from as well, because we all know how hard it is to make money through publishing alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
Not only because it comes through a lot later, you know, than
right.
when the song's
mm-hmm.
released.
Yeah.
It takes so long to you know, to come through, but also because of, you know, certain genres of music, they don't get the radio plays.
Right.
It's all about the streaming. So publishing is, you know, it's compared to getting a Radio 1 play compared to getting spins on Spotify, it's you know, it's nothing really. So Yeah, so I've always wondered why, you know, sometimes people object to equal publishing splits because it's like, you know,
it should be standard.
What, like, what do you yeah. think it's worth? You know, it's like, you know, this song would not exist
yeah.
without everybody. So
why because of the collaboration? You're absolutely yeah. right.
And why, equal every
why
time.
Should we get more? You know.
Yeah, I'm seeing at the moment a little trend. So the higher artists you end up maybe working with, and this is not just me. This is like everyone that I know. So the higher, let's say, producer or artist that you work with, it could also be for producers with vocalists, let's say your big vocalist or whatever. But it seems like the higher high-end musician you end up working with, and they have this management, right, that look after, you know, the whole shebang. So you don't really have a contact straight to the big artists.
Right.
That happens many times.
Yeah.
But it feels like that they ask, first of all, they ask you to work with them. Great. You work with them. But then they feel sometimes, I'm not saying everybody, but that's a trend I'm seeing, that they feel because they are a bigger name, they should get more publishing or, you know, a greater split, because you should be thankful that you're on that track, right?
Mm.
But then I go back to, but hey, you've requested to work with me, or, you know, that's how other people are doing. Like, they request to work with, let's say, the lower end producer or singer songwriter. So they came to you asking for, let's say, your help to finish a great song. So why is it that, you know, the higher kind of musician you work with, you feel like you have to be grateful for whatever you get?
Well, that's either greed or ego, and I'm not sure which it is.
It could be both.
And the thing is that we hear is like, but yeah, but that person is a bigger name, so. And I'm like, so?
It's not,
you know?
It's about the song, right?
Yeah, like, so you have.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
It's what you have, this collaboration. Together, create together.
Create something to, yeah, exactly. I don't care. In my opinion, I don't care if you are, I don't know, Celine Dion, or I don't know who else could it be, Armin, or anyone, any big, amazing musician that has done really well, and they should be really proud of it as well. But if you collaborate with somebody, it has to be fair. I don't care if you're big or not, you know, it's fair.
You know what? They should be taking the opportunity, because they're so big and they have so many followers, they should be taking the opportunity to split everything equally and telling everybody about it.
Exactly. Saying, change the industry.
And that's how change will happen.
I love that, Susie. You know, I love it's that. Like, bang.
Do you want people to know you as the person who's always fair? Or do you want people to know? Because people talk, you know, people find stuff out. Or do you want to be known as the one who's like the greedy, you know, big ego and takes the lion's share? They don't even need it.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Well, exactly. And also, I think it's really sad that people forget where they came from, because one day, at one point, they were that person. Needing, you know, and they've just forgotten. Well, that says more about them as individuals, I'm afraid.
Yeah. So. It's not about the money. It's about... No. It's about the power. It's about the ego. It's just like,
it is. But let's bring it back around to somewhere really positive.
That is that
we are trying to find a way to change standards so that there is an equal respect, equal income.
Yeah.
Equal splits, equal shares.
Yes.
Fair standards in the industry for vocalists and songwriters.
Yeah.
And it has to happen.
It has to. Yeah. And I believe we're heading in the right direction.
Yep.
You know, I,
definitely.
You know,
we're talking about it. That's important.
We're talking about
that is
it.
The first step. Yeah.
Absolutely. And more people are talking about it. And even like the people that I've met in the industry who, you know, who I've sort of negotiated things with, and there's been pushback on things like mm-hmm. equal splits. Mm-hmm. Just having the conversations there and then, and feeling like I know what I'm talking about now, rather than I'm overstepping the mark.
Yeah.
You know, am I being a bit cheeky here? Am I allowed to ask for equal?
Yeah.
Right. In the past, I've probably signed contracts where I've got zero master share because I haven't actually asked for any, even though I'm on the record. You know, and it's like, but I had no advice, no experience. It's just like, sure, yeah, I'll sign that. You know, and
the
just
thing is, you
it.
Get scared as, let's say, the power that the secret hidden power, right? As a like musician, is that if you are, let's say, a smaller artist, you have, you know, maybe you have 10,000 followers or whatever, but that other person that you work with, let's say they have 100,000 followers.
Yeah.
You feel, you know, because you want this to be a great collaboration, you're super excited. They ask you to collaborate with them, for example. So when they come back and say like, hey, we can only offer you 5%, let's say like that. Then if you don't accept it, you're scared to lose that opportunity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you feel forced into that situation. And that is something that needs to be changed. And that is why we are here.
Yeah.
Talking about these things. Positive change.
Yeah, exactly. And I just wish that people would, people being, I'll be specific, producers, DJs, record labels, would just step back for a minute and consider where the creators that create the product that they need in order to function.
And to continue, to continue giving them what they want, which is great songs.
Right, to continue giving them what they want. And this isn't like, you know, oh, I'm giving a little bitch about everything. It's not, I'm not, this is not, this is
no,
just, this is factual.
Yeah, this is
factual. And it's been happening for years.
Yeah.
And it has to stop now.
Yeah, no, we're heading in the right direction because I don't remember people talking about it as much.
Yeah,
no, exactly.
People are now.
People felt alone. That's why.
Yeah,
and I think this what you're doing is fantastic, and I can't wait to sign up to your Love Vocals like community when it's ready. You know,
Thank you.
It's great to have somewhere where you know new up and coming songwriters and vocalists. And even DJs who want to
everybody things. Collaborators, creators, they're all creators, and we want that cohesion, we want that connection, we want everybody to get on together,
and talk and just discuss things. And you know, they're just probably a lot of people just don't see it from other people's perspective, so we just got to communicate that.
Definitely.
thank you for your thoughts on that particular topic. That's really helpful.
No, I've really, really appreciate you in your time, and I've enjoyed this. I'm sorry if I waffle on and
you haven't you, like, haven't you haven't waffled on. You have not waffled
you can
on
keep it away
well.
Sorry
we're
I'm
not,
not
we're
no
definitely
no, no
not.
I was just winding the negative down. It's like
you know, because I think some of the listeners would be like, well, they're always whining, you know. But, you know, it's just facts. You know, we're just stating facts, to be honest.
Facts.
So it's not because we hate the world. We love the world.
We love the world. That's why we love vocalists. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyways, so, Susie.
Yeah. Lynette.
As mentioned in our intro before, you have worked with legends such as Tritonal, Roger Shah, Factor B, and the list goes on and on and on. So can you maybe tell us about some of your most memorable collaborations and how they influenced you, maybe, and made you grow as an artist?
I think firstly I'll speak about Roger because I don't know about you, like how you've operated with in the past or even now, like with collaborations, like I do get people like contacting me, but I also contact people, you know, that I like their music and I want to work with them. So I just send them a message. And I did that with Roger a few years back now. I think it was an email. I just sent him an email and a link to some of my songs. I just said, I really like this track. And, you know, would you ever fancy working on a track together? And he replied and said, yeah, great, sounds good. And we did a track called A Different Part of Me, which he was putting together his No Boundaries album. And I just as a side note, he's always been 50-50. Like,
yeah,
he knows how it goes. And I like his work ethic as well. He's very hardworking. He's constantly working and he's very quick as well. But what I liked about working with him was that he wanted me to write songs. Like, I know that sounds silly, but like you were saying, like I wrote all the songs that I've worked on with him, pretty much all of them, on my guitar. I wrote them first, and then I would send a very simple vocal and just finger picking guitar. And he really liked that sound, and that's when we started talking about working on the Sun Lounger album, because in his head he was picturing like campfire, like sitting around a campfire singing songs with a guitar, and he had these ideas about, unfortunately it was just before COVID, so we had ideas about performing live together. Every song that we worked on, he just gave me freedom and he was very supportive, and it was just a pleasure working with him. It was easy. And I know that that album, like the songs that came off it, helped build my profile. Like a lot of people heard either the original mixes or some of the remixes. So that was a big push and a really good relationship. And from the back of that, it inspired me to write more songs on my guitar. And I've had other producers asking if I would include guitar, like the one with Kieran, like he asked if I would play guitar in it.
Brilliant.
So I did. I mean, I'm not like, you know, a great guitar player. It's very simple stuff, but I think it's just quite nice to play an instrument, you know?
Absolutely. Super cool.
And again, with a tritonal song, I wrote a song on my guitar and sent it to him. That was another cold message through Instagram. Chad, one of the guys, replied, said, I really like it. Would you take some notes on it? You know, make changes. I said, yeah, sure. So we went back and forwards, and I did all the bits that he suggested. And that, you know, that came out quite well. And I think the guitars stayed on that track as well. And David Forbes, he's another one who's like a workhorse. Like they're all really fair producers, like the ones that you've mentioned.
Yeah.
And there's been never any pushback with asking for equals, but that doesn't mean that they all started out as equal, you know. But then going back and asking for it, there was no push.
I had the same with Davey. When they initially they didn't want to do the 50-50, but he did comply in the end, and I agree with you with Roger, because I think he's a brilliant guy to work with.
It's fun. Like I saw him actually at the State of Trance in Utrecht that night. We had our wires crossed because he wanted me to come into the DJ booth while he was playing our tracks. He said, come up with me when I'm playing. You said this on text, and I got the set times all wrong, and I missed it.
Oh no!
So I got there late, and he was like, "Yeah, you missed it." I was like, "Oh, damn it!"
Yes.
It's like I'm never there when my songs get played. It's just like one of those things. Like
that's a bummer.
I always miss my own songs as well. Total I bummer. Always miss it. Yeah.
Like, oh, it's you played your song. Oh, did he? I missed that. In Newcastle, I met Faddy for the first time.
Okay.
After Christina did her DJ set, after she left, he arrived, and he didn't recognize me because we never met in person.
Yeah.
And I said to him, are you going to play here with me? And he said, maybe. And I said, I'm the vocalist, by the way. And he went, oh,
yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was like, I was like, shut up, man, it's fine. I said, you know, he said, I didn't realize it was you. He says, of course I'll play it. Of course I'll play it.
Okay.
So anyway, he played it. And when he played it, he came off stage and like pulled me on stage with him. It was
amazing. It
was, yeah.
I love that story.
How was it for you when you're actually meeting people you've worked with, say, you know, remotely, and meeting them then in real life? What's that like for you?
It's really nice, I've got to say. Like Brendan Factor B, so lovely, you know, and Kieran, they're all really nice people. I haven't met all of the people I've worked with, but those ones in particular, lovely. And Chad, I met him from Tritonal in London a few months ago. He's lovely as well, but sometimes you don't get that like feeling, you know, like with emails, and like if it's a short email, you might think, "Ooh,
yeah, it's not really relational." There's a
tone there, yeah, you know, yeah. Not reading into things, and right. But actually, you know, it's so important if you get the opportunity to meet people, even if you're not working with them.
Yeah,
just say hello, you know. Love your stuff, and you never know, you might decide to work together, you might not. You don't have to work with everyone that you meet. Yeah. It's not like a rule, you know. It's like, yeah, you have a chat with someone, you don't have to collaborate straight after that, you know. It's just, let's just have a chat.
Yeah absolutely. It's super cool to hear that story with Fadi. He's such a lovely person.
Yeah, he is so funny.
Yeah.
He was great. I mean, he was just DJing on the fly. God knows how many DJ sets he's done, but
yeah, exactly. So they don't really remember.
You can do it in his sleep, you know.
Yeah. There's so many producers I worked on, or you know, been on their album or whatever. And when they meet, because they're all over, you know, they have to go out and play in like 10 minutes. So obviously, they don't recognize you, and you know, yeah, immediately, exactly. Anyways.
Because you could tell, because like when someone introduced me, he was so polite.
Yeah,
you know? He looked me in the eyes, he shook my hand, lovely to meet you. He's like, he's very polite, you know. And I have met people who aren't polite as well, and I just,
oh yeah,
I never see the point in that.
Me neither.
Point in that.
Yeah. All right, Susie, which would you prefer as a wake-up call every day, basically? Being woken up to the sound of screaming goats, or having someone chew really loudly with their mouth open right next to your ear?
Oh my God. I'd have to go for goats.
Goats, okay.
I'd go for goats as well.
I can't stand noisy eaters.
Really?
Yeah, goats are just doing what goats do.
Every morning.
Sounds horrendous. Sounds like some kind of purgatory.
Yeah.
If you could have a conversation with an animal, mm-hmm. what would you ask them?
Oh my gosh. I would say to horses, do you really like people riding on you?
Do you think that, Susie?
I just think, you know, it's like horse riding's a thing, and it has been for such a long time. But who even really knows how the horse feels?
They enjoy it, yeah. That's good. Yeah.
That's a really good point, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope they say yeah. You know,
yeah, we'll hope.
I would also speak to one of my cats, Luna, and ask her why she keeps eating plastic leaves from fake plants.
I'd like to know the answer to that one as well.
Yeah.
We had a very stressful month. I was telling Lily,
your poor cat,
she could not stop being sick. It was like it went on for weeks, and I was absolutely I was at my wit's end.
Yeah.
Just with worry. And then eventually she just puked up this plastic leaf from my daughter's fake plant, and I just,
oh my goodness, it must have been lodged in there
for stuck in her stomach.
No,
the other cat does have a brain and knows when it's not food and doesn't stuff like that, but the other one, she's just
and how is the cat now?
you know, but yeah.
Is she okay or?
She's all right now. Yeah, she's fine.
Okay.
I was telling everybody, because I couldn't write a song. I just couldn't be creative. Aww. Anyone who was contacting me, I was like, I'm so sorry. My cat's really sick at the minute. And I just really can't. I can't
that's
do this.
The family, you know.
You know?
Yeah. All right. I have one more for you. If you could have a talking toilet that gave compliments every time you used it, what encouraging things would you hope to hear?
Oh my God. encouraging toilet. No, this is ridiculous. Nice butt. I don't know.
nice butt. Right, as a singer and songwriter in the electronic music scene, is there anything you feel that you're missing as an artist or anything that you wish could improve?
I wish that more DJs would book live vocalists.
Yay, well said.
Yeah, we agree. Said.
And, you know, I'm sick of hearing there's no budget.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think how are we supposed to connect, you know, really connect with people in person, you know, feel the energy, share the energy. Mm-hmm. We don't get the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know sometimes it means a bit more planning and sound checks and what have you, but the more we do it, the better it gets, you know.
Yeah, but I think also it might be a good idea to find promoters who want to actually, it would be unique, wouldn't it, to actually do like one DJ with an all vocalist lineup for the night. And, it would be amazing. And
I would watch that.
And then you only needed to do, you know, little sign checks, you know, bring them in like they used to do it years ago. What changed so much?
Yeah,
totally.
What's changed? And it's still a human being, one human being. And, you know, I don't see why it's any different.
And the thing is, like with vocalists, you know, I mean, what else could... I'm not belittling DJs.
We're not belittling DJs.
When they're standing behind the deck, so far away from the audience.
Yeah.
You know, apart from the odd time they might jump on top of the decks, you know, and do all that. I mean, as vocalists, we can really reach out, you know.
Yeah. That's true.
The whites of people's eyes.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's entertainment. Yeah, it's entertainment.
It's all part of the song, and it's like the less we see live vocalists, it's not helping us. It's not helping our case, you know.
Do you know who I'd love to hear their thoughts on this particular thing is your manager.
Tara.
I'd love to hear her thoughts on this.
Yeah, you should get her on.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. Because obviously she's on that other side where she's dealing with all the business stuff. I would love to hear her take on everything that we've been discussing today.
She would definitely, I'm sure she would definitely be up for that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So, spill the beans. What's next up for Susie Ledge?
I've got quite a big collaboration. I don't know if I can announce it yet, but I can tell you.
Okay.
Beep
again.
So, I've got a collaboration coming up.
Wow.
And
again,
congratulations,
that was
Susie.
Thank you. That was because of meeting their manager at ADE. Like,
brilliant.
That was my mission. I wanted to meet her, and she's lovely.
Oh, yeah, she's lovely.
So, and she knows all about my cat.
Yeah.
But I'm relentless.
Yes.
You have to be relentless.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm so hyped for you. Yeah. And the listeners will just
the listeners will not get that yet. But
no, but you should be all very, 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 very,
very
excited.
Okay. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And I've got some other ones as well. Yeah. I just until I've heard the final masters, I don't want to kind of say it.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any masters yet.
I love that you just keep on going. You know, you're not you don't bow down to a no, and you're just like, okay, that didn't work, so I'll continue until it's accepted. And I love that. I'm the same. So awesome.
Yeah. You have to have a thick skin.
Absolutely. You have to.
And stay positive and don't take anything too personally.
Exactly.
Because it's not personal, and you know, I've made mistakes in the past when I have taken things personally, and I've maybe sort of, you know, snapped back a little bit, and then the kind of the relationship kind of feels awkward after that, and I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just had a walk or meditated, just brush it off
and let it go.
Yeah.
So, lastly, what for young vocalist songwriters coming up in the ranks, what advice might you give them?
Well, just keep writing as much as possible. Write with other people. I know it's scary, but and I was scared big time. But what you realize when you do get together with someone, as long as you can have a laugh with that person, don't feel like you've got to crack on and write a song from the get-go. Spend the first hour just chatting, and then just see what happens. And don't put any pressure on yourselves, and turn up to places, you know, meet people. You don't have to work with everyone you talk to, but just say hello, you know, and do it gradually.
Yeah,
don't set yourself massive goals like within this year I have to be here. Just take it in step by step, and before you realize it, you'll look back and you'll see I've actually come quite a distance. And don't compare yourself to everybody else. Find someone who's doing what you want to do and take some advice from the way they do things, but don't copy them, you know. Just take little bits from other people, but remember, you are unique. Do it your own way and take your own time, and it's got to be fun, because when it stops being fun, you know.
I love that. I think that's great advice. Really great advice.
Super great.
And
thank you so very, very much for your time today. And it's been an absolute honor and a pleasure. And I hope to be able to talk with you more. And I'm going to say to everyone out there, thank you for tuning in today on Love Vocals Nation as we delve into the captivating world of Susie Ledge.
Thank you so much. I've really, really enjoyed it. You know, it's been fun and lovely to meet you both. And I can't wait to, you know, hang out with you both.
Yes, same. Next time. There's always a next time.
Well, will you be at the London ASOP, Linnea?
I won't, unfortunately. But I will be at ADE, so I'll probably see you around.
Yeah, but when are you both coming to Detroit? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Maybe
the songwriter session in Detroit.
Maybe we should set up a little retreat.
Yes.
But that would be fun, wouldn't it? We hope you have enjoyed getting to know Susie and gained insights into her experiences in the ever-evolving music industry. Make sure to follow Susie on social media and also tune in next week to follow on to this amazing journey that is Love Vocals Nation.
Woohoo!
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you. Guide you through the black of night.
see a different part of me. I know you're hurting deep inside. Give me a chance to make it right. Soon you'll see a different part of me. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. your heart is still mending, and all you wanna do is run and hide. Believe me when I say I'm not pretending. I can share the hurt you feel inside. So don't give up on me. It's all I ask of you. I'll help you see the world from a different point of view. Hold on to my hand. We can make it through.
Your love is all that I need.
you out.